What's going on, guys? The Crew 3 podcast. Rose Ruckman with me, as always, is my co-host, Todd Anderson.
I don't like this. Wait, hold on. Why didn't I pull a Chris and just go like, oh, my dog, cat, wife amalgam disrupted the frequency with my microwave and now I don't have a webcam.
Don't worry, this video is not going to make it anyway, so this joke is only for me and Thane.
Thank you.
Ricky got a really scuffed shave and a haircut. And I'm avoiding Amish jokes, and he just kind of looks like candy now.
The Amish jokes are better.
The Amish jokes are better.
Yeah. I'm kind of looking. I'm looking. If you've got a barn raising in your area, contact me. I'm feeling it, you know?
We have to post a picture on Twitter now.
It's so bad. Everything about it was bad. It was miserable from start to finish. An hour and a half in sports clips, and there weren't even sports on TV.
Oh, did you get horses?
Dude, that was like the beginning of Saturday, like Saturday morning early.
Sure.
It was like all of the college athletes who have succumbed to cancer.
Season.
And I was like, I'm about to succumb to something.
We're live at UCLA getting ready to go for game day.
Yeah, but before all the game day fun stuff, you know, before the old man puts on the hat, you know, it was like the sad stuff, you know. Yeah.
Last time I went to Sports Clips, it was like horse TV was on. And I was like, and there were no races. It was just like a bunch of ads for last chance for the horse auction this year, last chance for yearlings, and a bunch of like siring in 2022 reserve, siring in 2023 reserve now.
You better reserve.
Yeah, you want to get one of those horses anyway. So we got Ricky here, and then of course, like I said last week, joining us is friend of the show, writer and contributor to Playing a Pioneer or Playing MagicMTG.com, and host of the Shoxies podcast. We have Thane.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. What are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm just glad you guys invited me on. I finally get to see your recording studio, which I was really surprised that it's like this. I'm like, man, the bathrooms at the Buc-ee's has really nice acoustics.
They're the best acoustics.
That's great. We got Buc-ee's bathrooms and tiny toilets.
Nice.
We don't go to tiny toilet anymore.
Or they charge too much and don't see the error of their ways because they still sell it because you got to go play RCQs.
Yeah.
It's a sad state
Heck we
live em. In.
Heck em.
Anyway, hey, speaking of RCQs, we're going to quickly kind of run over some of the upcoming RC dates because I've spent the time to actually find out the full schedule of RCs this time around. That way we're not just like, I think this is the last one. Oh, no, there's three more.
I'm almost positive that Atlanta is the last one.
It is. And here's the funny thing we'll talk about. So we're going to talk about the RC schedule. Then we're going to go over all of the sweet spoilers that happened on Vegas. And then we're going to end on Does It Slap. We'll sprinkle in a quick little talk because, hey, surprise, there are RCs this weekend. So I kind of want to get some meta predictions. We're not going to really go into event results because, again, a lot of fun cards to talk about, a lot of sweet decks you all submitted, so let's get started with it. So the RC schedule, luckily all these dates were easy to find for two of them, and Fire Shoes came through, so as always, shout out to Fire Shoes Google for being the best in the biz. Okay, so this weekend, Canada won in Calgary, and Europe, Middle East, / Africa, so there are two this weekend. Then there's a long break until the last weekend of October, which is going to be the RC for China. Then we have November 4th and 5th is going to be Southeast Asia, Taiwan, Mexico, Central America, the Caribbean, and Brazil. And then November 25th to the 26th is Canada to Toronto, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Korea, and South America. And then in December 16th through 17th, you have DreamHack Atlanta. So
I'll be there.
So this is like, I think actually the beginning of this month was when the window opened. And technically the last weekend you could hold them is the 25th and 26th. So somehow DreamHack got the approval to run their event outside of the actual event window, which is probably why the next RC is so quickly afterwards and is in Denver and not at a DreamHack. I'm sure Watsy said, you can have one, but afterwards, you got to stay in the lane.
Sure, sure, sure.
So it's kind of weird to think about, though, because, like, before we get into, like, what it all means, right?
What does it
mean? The spread is wild on these. So obviously we have some this weekend. Then we have an entire month of the meta to kind of come together and rebuild afterwards. And then you have for China, and then the weekend after. So kind of put those together, you have the other like third of the field. And then Ixalan will come out. And then you have the next like swing of Arceus.
Well, aren't we the only ones playing with Ixalan?
No. Canada 2, Australia, New Zealand, Japan.
Why does Canada get 2?
And South, because it's too big, Ricky.
We're just as big as Canada, because I've seen a map.
I don't know. Canada's a lot taller than us.
Yeah, but they all live on the U.S. border.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
It's too cold up there.
So Canada 2, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Korea, South America, and the U.S. will all have Ixalan as part of their RC.
Exciting.
So, kind of weird to think about that Canada's going to have two different formats instead of their RC.
I mean, I'm baffled that they get two.
Yeah, is that the hang up now? Just why two?
Why two? Like, is it because that their country is too difficult to traverse? Is it treacherous?
They have planes just as much as the US does. I think the wilder one is that Europe, Middle East, and Africa.
Yeah, that one's kind of wild. That's kind of interesting.
I was just going to say, I think the reason that Canada has two is because if you go to, like, the western side of Canada, it's, like, it's a lot more civilized and, like, because it's, like, you got all the sane people. And then you go to the eastern side, and it's all the crazy people, and they just can't have them mixing, like, you know.
See, I was going to say it would make sense if it was, like, French Canada and non-French Canada.
Mm-hmm. Where is face-to-face games?
What do you mean? Where are they located?
Yeah, because they're the ones that were cheeky and they charged entry fee to their RC.
Face
that was like
face
on the first RC, right? The first Atlanta. Like people were upset because the Canadian one, you had to pay an entry fee to play the RC.
Mm-hmm. They have a store in Montreal and Toronto. French Canada, I knew it.
All sides of Canada.
Oh wow.
Now we know where Carnage is going to be.
I don't know what Canada is.
It's America's hat.
Oh, no. What does that make Florida?
It's America's hat in the home of war crimes. Look that up. Canada, don't mess with Canada. All right. Well, let's real quick. I mean, we have two RCs this weekend. I mean, meta predictions, right? I mean, Rakdos Sack and Midrange is making a big comeback lately. We've had a lot of Spirits dominance. Birds. Yeah, we're going to give you Birds Week next week, buddy.
I'm telling you, it's going to be a big splash this weekend. Yep. I'm telling you, the deck is great. It's better than it's ever been.
My pick is I'm thinking someone's going up the Beanstalk this weekend.
I think there's some cool Beanstalk decks. But
now, whether or not it's going to be like Bring to Light, or it's going to be... I really like... I hate to say it. I really like the Lotus Beanstalk list.
What does that look like? I haven't seen that.
It's just the... it's
Lotus Field, but it plays the Beanstalk.
It's the Azorius Lotus Field list, but it just plays the Beanstalk.
Okay, nice, nice, nice.
Because why not let Teferi draw us two cards?
Sounds broken.
It's and we get to draw with our end our opponent's turn spell.
That's right, yep.
And I believe if you stifle your own, like end your own turn, you also get to draw a card, right?
It ends the turn, though, so...
No, because you have the trigger resolves before the...
Oh, it does? Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha. I didn't realize it was a cast trigger.
Because the card costs 6, and it just costs 4 less
if
we cast it on our own turn.
Yeah.
That's so dumb.
So, it will trigger the Beanstalk, and we'll draw cards, and then
so end our I'm thinking we're going to the Beanstalk this weekend.
I think so too.
So, well, we shall see, and we'll be back. Like I said, next weekend we're going to go over these results, and we'll give Ricky his time in the sun for Phoenix Watch
and Bird Week. So much fun right now. that third week? That's wonderful. It's so fantastic. So where did you find it?
I made that.
Where did that's, you find
that's been, it? That's been the Phoenix Watch sound effect for like the last like 2 years. And every time we change whatever watch it is, I just change where the ending sound is. My favorite, I think, was when we did like vampires 1 week. I picked audio from What We Do in the Shadows, where it's him shouting "Bat Fight."
Vampire Watch. When did that happen?
I love that one.
I don't remember. That was like
ages ago.
That was like a year and a half ago. I think.
That was the most fake news we've ever produced.
It really was. The deck was never good. All right. Let's talk spoilers. I mean, you guys want to talk Secret Lair, but also we should talk Ixalan. Let's talk Secret Lair funsies, and then we'll talk about the main set.
Let's start with first. I just want to talk about how abusive it is to be a fan of Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
Thank God I'm not a fan of Lord of the Rings.
This is the real Saruman of many colors, though.
It is. Now you can buy Lord of the Rings the set again. There's no $1 million chase card. There's no serialized rings, but instead you can get illegible cards in your packs. I know you're dying to play modern staples that are so unreadable that you can't even really tell what card it is. I literally don't even know what this green-white card is. I can't even tell you where the name is or the mana cost.
I do have one question about them. Do I have to stick them in a fire to make it so I can read the card?
Oh my gosh, possibly.
So what I love, right, is this is the inverse of Textless Cryptic Command in that these just have the words, but they're so illegible they can do whatever you want them to do.
Right. Then we're also going to print new cards this time around. Completely new, never before printed cards. They are Commander and Legacy legal. So once again, as always, dunk on Legacy, right?
Yeah.
Some of these are like gonna be Legacy playable cards.
I will say though, I like this product. I like the panorama because they give you the frame for them and stuff like that. This is Wizards. This is an actual good collector product, I want to say.
Except that it's new cards that you have to
okay get sure but that aside right like I was so mad this weekend when I was on like the Pokemon subreddit and they were complaining about the classic edition product. They're like, it's so expensive, who would buy this? And I'm like, the point is it's a collector item, right? I wish Magic had a dumb collector item like that was actually good.
Then also in Lord of the Rings the Second Coming of Christ Jumpstart boosters, there are exclusive new modern legal rares, and including one that is actually possibly modern playable. So good luck, modern playable. The Riders of the Mark.
Mark, yeah.
The Affinity for Humans 7/4 Trample Haste that makes more humans.
Yeah, that one's good.
So, you know, sucks to be an eternal format player that isn't.
And an illegible version of the One Ring.
Oh. You can just tell your opponent you win.
Yeah.
Basically. That's fine.
I'm looking at it. Oh, the text isn't even like across the card. It's broken up by color of the text. At the beginning of tap, can gain protection. Oh, this is awful.
Yeah. Good thing none of these cards are legal in Pioneer, so they won't have to disgust you there. You can buy an all caps Abrade and play that in Pioneer. But
that's good, yeah.
That's about as offensive as it gets in Pioneer.
Is it also offensive that we have not one, but two Secret Layers of Basic Lands?
In these Secret
Layers? And Judge promos.
Yeah.
So, yes. I think what's really bad is that the first set of Secret of the Lands, right?
Uh-huh.
Kind of sick.
The Japanese ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're amazing. The Japanese watercolors, whatever they are, yeah.
They're amazing. The Plains doesn't fit.
The Mountain is gorgeous.
Right. Those are all amazing. Too expensive. And then I love the Pixel Snow-Covered Lands, right? Mm-hmm.
So do you not like them in non-snow?
They're not Pixel.
They're Pixel.
No, they put the little Windows 95 window around it, but like this art is like,
well, Ricky, clean. This is 16-bit, not 8-bit.
No, I don't. They don't look as charming to me. To people who like art, the art is pretty, but it doesn't look like Windows 95 art like the other ones did. So, and like, because the other one, the like snow covered in the Windows box, right?
Yeah,
is actually a secret layer that I like, kind of feel a little like jealous I missed out on. Right?
Sure.
I kind of want to go back and buy that one, but this one I'm like, oh, good, I don't have to buy this one.
Yeah. Dalekland's.
This is a good one for Pioneer.
Yeah.
We don't have an official price yet. Blooming Marsh.
You like the Blooming Marsh?
I think that one's fun.
I think all of them look fine.
Yeah.
I think Spire Bluff Canal looks beautiful, actually.
I love Concealed Courtyard.
Oh, that one's sick, actually.
I mean, they're all going to be in one layer. And so even if they charge $50, like, that's a deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the cost of all five of the Fastlands, right?
I mean, some of the, like, Botanical Sanctum, Concealed Courtyard, and Blooming Marsh are, like, worth nothing.
Right, but, like, Inspiring Vantage and Spire Bluff Canal are both, like,
over 15, 10, right? 20,
If this is, like, 40 non-foil and 50 foil, I think it's a steal.
For sure.
And, like, a great way to, like, kind of set up. Okay,
Botanical Sanctum is $5. Uh-huh. Inspiring Vantage is... $8.
I think Blooming Marsh
should be like 3 or 4. Oh, Blooming Marsh is actually 6.
Yeah, it's a little bit up there.
Blooming Marsh, Spire Bluff was like 20 for a while.
It's down to like 14 though, I think.
13, 14. And then Courtyard.
That's the $2 one. That's the poopy
one. That's like,
yeah, that's the poopy one. Yeah. Oh, it's less than a dollar.
Yeah. But still, like the other ones though, right? Like, 8, 6, 4, so that's 18, plus the, like, it's $30 worth of lands and a Concealed Courtyard, right?
Yeah.
And I think, like, for $40, it'd be really fair, and 50 in foil would be, like, super.
Sure.
If it's more than that.
You just gotta be able to buy enough to make the free shipping, because shipping on these is never worth it.
Right. Next we have the Statue of Liberty and other
angels. Oh, yeah, Doctor Who the Angels.
Are there that many angels in Doctor Who?
They're all weeping angels.
That's just one episode, though.
No, there's every season has like 2 or 3 episodes of weeping angels now.
What?
Yeah, then we have to really cash in on how popular Blink was.
But that was an episode without the Doctor, even.
Yeah, but the weeping angels are so cool.
See, though, ever since Matt Smith took over, it's been all garbage.
We're way past Matt Smith.
I know, but I quit Matt Smith.
The first half of Capaldi was good.
I haven't seen.
I said Louis Capaldi took over.
Peter Capaldi
coming up.
I haven't watched any Jodie Whittaker stuff, but I heard it's actually pretty good. And then the new guy hasn't started yet.
I watched Eccleston.
Yeah, Eccleston's great. Eccleston's my favorite.
I watched Tenet.
Uh huh.
Loved him.
Yeah.
And then I watched like 10 episodes of Matt Smith and was just like, I don't like this.
I like Matt Smith. Anyone under the age of like 50 who tells you Tom Baker's their favorite doctor is a liar and has never watched classic Doctor Who before. This classic Doctor Who is actually awful.
Oh, yeah. I watched a few episodes and they're so bad.
Yeah, like my mom has said she liked it, but I haven't gone back and watched any older stuff. Yeah. I haven't watched anything.
That's fine. Other. Your mom's old enough to have watched them as they aired. Yeah, exactly. Everyone else now is just like trying to be a hipster. Be like, no, I watched Doctor Who before.
Angel of Serenity getting a Doctor Who card before it gets a Firefly card is very frustrating. the world that actually has the Angel of Serenity, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Really cool, interesting, illegible zombie cards. Wow. I love that the word creep show takes up like 30% of our real estate here on the card.
Before we move on for the angels.
Oh yeah.
We couldn't fit Resplendent Angel on this. Are you
No. That one's coming. That one's coming one day. Oh my god. What do we get? Blinding Angel? Yeah. When does the Statue of Liberty become evil?
That is in the middle of Matt Smith's run.
Oh, that's why I don't see it.
Is that the real Statue of Liberty or the small one?
No, no, no. It turns out the Statue of Liberty is a Weeping Angel.
Huh. But everybody watches it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's like some SPC stuff.
Yeah.
The Creepshow one is illegible, and the fact that they, like, honestly, at this point, just give up putting, like, game information on this card.
Oh, right? These are, like, the weird front and back ones, like they did with
I hate those, the cereal boxes.
Yeah.
I very much dislike these. Not a fan.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on. Like,
yeah.
Lots of secret layer Princess Bride cards.
The only good one is Rodents of Unusual Size, in my opinion. That one actually slapped.
They're all actually very funny to me. I think this is hilarious. I think this is the perfect use of Secret Lair. And okay. I just hope that this doesn't get split into, like, three Secret Lairs. But, like, it is
I think it's all one, but
it's nine cards.
No.
So we could split it up and make them really pay.
What is the bonus? I hope the bonus is just Fred Savage.
Just Fred Savage? He's just in the bottom of the box.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it has to be Happily Ever After, because that's already a card, right?
Yeah.
And you just, like, put that. Or it's, like, True Love's. I think there's True Love's Kiss was a card from Eldraine, right?
Yeah.
And you put that in the bottom, right? And it's just Fred Savage going, ew.
Like, R.O.U.S. is good, but, like, the... Lunar New Year pack rat is so much better. It's amazing. Silence is good. You're right. Yeah.
Silence is great. Baral as Vizzini is hilarious.
Yeah. There's no Prince Humperdinck, though.
I think Wesley as Finn the Fangbearer is a little bit of like a... Really? You chose that card for him?
Well, I mean, he's a poison. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I get that. But, like, I don't know. It seems like they could have chosen, like, Skithrix or something if they want. I don't
know. I feel like Inigo definitely should have been a True Name Nemesis.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, but the problem is that's a Merfolk Warrior, right?
Ah, yeah.
So, like, that's, like, the only thing is, like, a card that comes into play and, like, chooses my opponent and says, I'm gonna ruin you today. Then we get Evil Dead.
Oh, I'm so excited for that one.
I love this one. I'm just kind of bummed that we get a zombie token.
Mm-hmm. I was mad about that, too. The name is wrong.
We could get, like, even, like, the Walking Dead got Walker tokens, uh-huh. right? Like, we could have gotten something else. We could have gotten...
But that would have... I think because these are...
The first movie.
Well, because they're reskins.
Right.
If they weren't reskins of cards... Then they probably would have been Deadites, but because these are reskins, you can't change the name of the token without functionally changing the card.
I would have loved to see, like, some sort of equipment as, like, the boomstick or the chainsaw arm.
Oh, the boomstick's going to be the hidden card for sure.
Oh, yeah. You know, it'd be really cool. The chainsaw arm, if that was the Forebear's blade.
No, it's not going to be Forest Blade's Blade. It's going to be, what's the actual chainsaw from Innistrad? Trepidation Blade or whatever?
Oh, Trepidation Blade, yeah.
Or there's the hacksaw from, what's it called? New Capenna.
Yeah, but...
Sounds a chainsaw, technically, I guess.
I love Cabin of the Dead. It's so cool looking.
So good, such good flavor.
Destroy the Dead, like, get Ash on there.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun. I love this.
I love it.
Actually, the include's going to be the Necronomicon.
Ooh.
Oh, that's what I was upset about. Actually, I posted about this because I thought that both Army of the Damned is a card that was, like, it literally is the cabin from Evil Dead.
Sure.
Like, if you look at the art, and it was from Innistrad when they, like, went top down, right?
Yeah.
And we had Grimoire of the Dead. In Innistrad, like, both those cards were said to be inspired by Evil Dead, and it's kind of frustrating that neither of them made it, right?
I think it's going to be the bonus card, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah? Do you think Army of the Damned or the
Necronomicon? The Necronomicon, for sure.
Can we just get a second secret layer just Evil Dead as well.
Yeah,
finish it up.
My friend was like, we were saying, like, maybe next year for Halloween they release like a Army of Darkness secret layer, and that'll have all the like other stuff in it, right?
Yeah. Or Evil Dead 2. Yeah. Or it's just Ash and his girlfriend.
Evil Dead 2 is just the same movie.
I know, but there's less characters.
Give us new Evil Dead where it's the apartment.
Oh, actually, I just watched that one. It's so good.
It's really good.
I have not seen that one, actually.
If you have a problem with people eating glass,
I watched the Evil Dead, the Raimi remake.
Yeah, with Ash at the end.
Where Ash is a girl, right?
Yeah.
And they're like doing the like it's like a trip out to the cabin to like get her sober, right?
Yeah, but that ends up being like a prequel though, right? Kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
And then I want to marvel at the Jurassic World cards.
Yeah.
I think these are going to be like the Transformers cards,
mm-hmm.
where they're going to come in set boosters, but there's not 20 million of them, right?
Yeah. And then you get them also in every collector booster, but yeah. There's 26 cards, so there's going to be 26 of them.
All right, well, these three all are amazing.
Yeah.
I think the Saga is the funniest card ever.
Welcome to.
It gives your opponent walls that your dinosaur that it gives you can't attack through.
Yeah.
And then it destroys all walls, and then your dinosaurs escape. Amazing.
That's like the best.
And then you get a cradle.
And then Jeff Goldblum on a magic card. Amazing. Yeah.
Look, Ian, our friend Ian was very excited that he gets to play himself, right? And now I get to just say, now my thing was just, I can't wait to pithy needle Ian. I can't wait to trap Ian in the moon.
Oh, yeah. Fire at Ian.
Yeah.
Indominus Rex Alpha, I will say.
Stephen Straight Ian.
Looks like an MTG Cardsmith r/ custom magic card.
With I haven't read that
mana cost. Yeah. Like, this is, you know.
It's a painful mana cost.
Magic stuff.
Demir Hybrid, double green.
Yeah, I don't do that, you know. But that card's also really cool.
I just like that the Indominus Rex is like, no. We have to be clear. This is the alpha.
Right. I like that it's going to go right into Multicolor Cube. This card is sick.
What does it do, actually?
You can discard any number of creatures.
Okay.
And then for each ability on all the creatures you discard, it gets a counter of that ability.
Okay.
And then you draw cards equal number of counters on it.
That's pretty sweet.
It is sweet. So.
It's
better Soul Player
card.
It also can have First Strike and Double Strike.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
It doesn't give a triple strike, though, unfortunately.
So I think that's all the secret layers.
That is all the secret layers and the extra cards. Actually, we do have extra cards, though, because before we get to the main Ixalan cards that will be hitting Pioneer. Booster boxes will have a treasure trove box topper, which they've shown off an example of being Coercive Portal. And then we also, in this set, have a new thing for set boosters and collector boosters, where these are called special guests. And it sounds like these are going to be a thing that get included in sets going forward, where these are going to be targeted master style reprints, but with art that matches the set they're printed in, which I think could set up for some really good and fun reprints. Like, I can't wait to see how many cards we get as cowboys in Thunder Junction. But so far we've seen Lord of Lettuce and Mana Crypt for that slot. So again, these cards are going to be Pioneer legal. They do have a different set symbol. Think of them, at least if you get them a set booster, as, hey, they're just list cards, but with that are more wanted reprints, right? Like, this isn't like you open a list card and you're just like, why is this random card from Mercadian Mask to my booster pack?
I mean, Mana Crypt and Lord... the list cards that I get are always terrible. Also, like, Real talk. Have y'all opened some? Have y'all opened some WoW limited or sealed boxes yet?
I hope full on boxes or just packs. I opened some packs. Yeah.
Yeah.
I opened a couple. Yeah.
Have y'all gotten any list cards?
I got a list card.
Have y'all gotten any of the Walking Dead? Because they're supposed to be on the list.
I have not. Granted, I've only opened up 4 set boosters.
Yeah, I've opened like over 3 boxes of set boosters.
Didn't you guys say you haven't opened up any cauldrons either?
Yeah, this is just from like winning packs and stuff, right? Sure. Yeah. And like we opened and we did not get any cauldrons or beseeches. We finally got a cauldron, but like I have seen so many list cards that are garbage.
Or, like, which is weird because they said the
universe within cards are supposed to be
more common
as regular list cards, right?
Yeah.
But it's very much not true this set. They are being stingy with those Walking Dead cards. Because it's the best-selling secret lair ever, and they need to keep it that way or something. I don't know.
I don't know why they need to keep it that way. They cannot make more money off of it.
It's kind of like, I don't know, it's like, I was kind of hoping to open a Rick, you know?
Yeah.
Also, why is every single universe within just happens on Innistrad?
Because Innistrad can literally be anything, and people are like, yeah, it's Innistrad.
I guess so. I mean, I guess all of the universes beyond cards so far have been spooky.
Yeah.
I guess Street Fighter was from, like, that, like, some unnamed Roman planet, right?
Yeah. Isn't Street Fighter the same plane as the one vampire commander, like the Triumvirate vampire commander or whatever?
I think it's supposed to be. I think so.
Yeah.
But Stranger Things and now Walking Dead both also exist on Innistrad.
That checks out. All right. Ready to talk about actual spoilers for this set, though? We'll save the exciting one for the end.
I was just going to add one
thing. What's the exciting one?
The Cavern of Souls.
Whoa. What do you want to add?
Oh, I was just going to say, so you asked if we opened the booster, the sealed products for I played sealed, and I got like the craziest open. I got a foil Rhystic Study alternate art, and it was the best. Like,
was it the Crackle one?
I think it was it wasn't the Japanese art one. I can't remember which art it was, but it was like $70 and I was like, yes.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Nice. This set has value. I like Woe. Yeah. Woe is pretty sick.
Yeah. Woe is definitely gonna be one of the boxes we're probably going to be using for the box breaks during Extra Life. So
it's a sick box, that's for sure.
I think one of my favorite, I've got some lines. I kind of want to, so a bit of a preview for Extra Life this year. Besides Woe, one of the boxes we will be box breaking for donations is going to be OG Eldraine.
Nice.
And we're gonna have bounty cards in every set. But my favorite is for Eldraine, the bounty cards will be if you open a banned card.
Ooh, very fun. Those are uncommons.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, where do we start? Basic lands. Okay, Ricky, you had something to say about these basic lands, which I think are very good, and I like them a lot.
They're absolutely beautiful.
Okay, good.
But
oh,
I said, this makes me happy. I'm not going to buy any of these. Because when I saw the Wilds lands, I was like, I really like that, and I want to buy them. But I was like, wait a minute. I bet that they're going to keep doing cool basic lands in every set. And I'm just going to hold out to the Cowboy set to buy 100 of every basic. I'll buy 100 of every Wild West basic.
I'm with you on the Cowboy set, but also these are gorgeous, and I will also be buying these.
They are, but I'm going to hold off because I'm going to buy like 100 foils of each one of the
Cowboys. See, I kind of like, because I have about like 20 or 30 of the arts I like from the last Innistrad set, and then the Art Deco lands from Capenna. And I kind of like having like a few different sets of them just to kind of like mix and match however I'm feeling on the day. So, but I'm with you on going in on the Cowboy.
My basics need to match.
No. I keep the same set for sure.
I'm just saying.
But, you know, sometimes I feel like new Capenna land. Sometimes I feel like getting spooky dookie.
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic. The two people from Texas are the ones that want the Cowboy land.
That's not irony. That's the opposite. That's just expected.
That's right. The only thing I would get more than Cowboy lands is if they printed Bucky lands.
Buckies. Heck yeah.
Next secret layer drop.
Dude, people have wanted the Costco. Have you seen the the Costco Shopland secret layer?
Yeah. But, all right, what do we got here? So we got, where are we starting? We want to talk with the god, we got a Galta, We got Whatley.
I think Galt's interesting to talk about.
We got Breaches. We got Skullspore. Where are we starting?
Let's start with exciting cards.
Okay.
And that's
okay, then let's skip this.
Let's start with Ogier Oxenil Deepest Might, baby.
Yeah. Okay, so Ogier Oxenil Deepest Might, 2 red for a 4/4 legendary creature god with trample. If a source you would, if your red source you control would deal damage to an amount of non combat damage less than Ogier power to an opponent, that source deals damage equal to Ogier's power instead. When Ogier Oxenil dies, return to the battlefield, tap to transform into its under its owner's control. And the backside is Temple of Power. Tell me about it, Olmec. Taps for red, and then for 2 red, you can transform it back, but only if a red source you control dealt 4 or more non-combat damage this turn, and only as a sorcery. So I think we're all sad this guy isn't Jund.
Yeah, he looks very Jund in the art.
This card rocks.
This card is sick.
This card, if it would deal less than it deals equal to its power instead.
Yeah, so you can still you can pump this guy.
So this works with End the Festivities.
Oh yeah,
because End the Festivities says it deals 1 damage to target opponent and each creature that that player controls.
Excuse me, I'm just gonna bomb it a little bit.
It just ups the one number, right?
Yeah.
Even though this says only if it would deal to an opponent, right? It will amplify. So you can play on turn 5, you can play this and then play End the Festivities, and your opponent takes 4 and all their creatures take 4.
Yeah.
And you can't kill Shieldred with that, but we're getting somewhere, you know?
Well, if you have 2 in the Festivities, Shieldred's dead.
No, yeah, recovery. This is true. If you have 2 End the Festivities, your opponent's life is ended. I think this card is sick.
This card's good. I mean, can we get really cheeky with, like, Impact Tremors and stuff like that?
We can get really cheeky with Impact Tremors and Pophoros. Let me tell you. It's kind of sick. And not to mention, like, if you buff this guy in any form of that.
Yeah, yeah,
and then it's crazy, right? You, like, you shove Audacity on this man, and now you end Festivities for 6, you know?
Ooh.
Those Festivities? Over.
They're so over. They're over.
Ended.
Is there any burn spells that add power? I wonder if they add power to the creature and then do damage. That would be interesting. Like a 3 mana, deal 3 to an opponent, add +1 power or something. I don't know. Or like ping an opponent for 1.
Hold on. How does it work? Hold on. A Tarkus command is funny.
Yeah, that's Tarkus a good one.
Command. I think you resolve in the order, right?
Yeah. Which order is it though? Is it?
That's what I'm looking up. A Tarkus. It's after 3M is the second thing. Oh, come on.
Our memes weren't dreams for a second.
Creatures you control get +1/+1 is the last thing on the card. Tarkus
command is going to be sick though.
It is.
I mean, it's 4 mana. You got this guy out, so you can double a Tarkus command the next turn. Yeah. And then, like, if it dies, it just turns into a land. I think this card is sick.
This card's great. What do we got next? We got Galt the Stampede Tyrant, 5 green for another 12/12 trample. Whenever Galt the Stampede Tyrant enters the battlefield, put any of your creature cards from your hand onto the battlefield.
I hate this.
I was going to say, at that point, it's kind of too late. It's so win more.
But people already love playing, like, that kind of sneak attack deck, right? With Ilharg and stuff like that. Like, that kind of pops up in Pioneer from now time to time.
Chris wants to reanimate this.
Yeah.
Put Atraxa into play. Like, that's what you want to do with this, right? It's just you cheat this into play somehow, and then shove your Atraxa into play with it, and then draw back enough cards to do your garbage again next turn.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it's an ETB, so you can also, like, blink it, right? Like, it's not just on cast. So, Skullspore Nexus, 6 green. This spell costs X less to cast. X the number is the greatest power among creatures you control. Whenever 1 or more non-token creatures you control dies, create a green fungus dinosaur creature token with base power numbers equal to the total power of those creatures. 2 and tap, don't target power until end of turn.
What a weird card.
So this combos with our Ogier.
This card? It's I've never been more disappointed reading like a book, right? Like, I saw green, green, six, legendary artifact, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I read, this spell costs X less to cast, where X is the power.
I know.
And I went and I looked back and I was like, does it say Great Henge underneath it? Is this a weird reprint of Great Henge? And I was like, this is Great Henge 2.
Cool.
Even better. Great Henger, right?
Yeah.
And then I started reading more and I was sort of like wondering where the Great Henge is supposed to be.
Yeah. And then instead of the Declaration of Independence, it's the Declaration of Dependence, where they go like, yeah, these are all our problems, but yeah, we'll stick around for a little bit.
Yeah, this was the Declaration of Dependence. Yeah, exactly.
Nicolas Cage would never steal this one.
No.
Leave it in the case.
And breaches, we got Breaches.
Eager Pillager, 2 and a red for 3/3, Goblin Pirate, Legendary Creature Goblin Pirate with first strike. Whenever a pirate you control attacks, choose one that hasn't been chosen this turn. Create a treasure token. Target creature can't block this turn or exit the top card of your library. You may play it this turn. So
this card is so sick.
Yeah, you get all of them if you got enough pirates.
Yeah, and I'm going to put this in my pirate commander deck and then never think about it again.
It'd be kind of fun if Winota's still around to build like a pirate version of it with
pirate
this guy.
Winota. Yeah,
yeah, because this guy would trigger her, so.
Wily Goblin helps us speed out Winota.
Exactly. I think there's something there, technically.
Those are really good abilities, right?
Yeah.
Like, just if you have a 2-drop pirate that's worth playing, or a 1-drop pirate worth playing.
The one that does 1 damage on attack?
This guy is a better, I mean, at face value, right? Uh-huh. This is a better Fable of the Mirror Breaker Chapter 1. he makes a treasure token when he attacks.
And has first strike and is bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can ban Fable now, guys. We have a new 3-mana card to play.
Yeah.
And he draws us cards, maybe.
Yeah.
Whatley is a frustrating novel.
Okay. 2 and a green for Whatley, Poet of Unity, for a legendary creature, human warrior bard. She also was de-sparked. We had a 2/3. Whereas the battlefield search your library for a Saheeli card, for a basic land card. Saheeli and Quint are in the set, though. So I'm excited for Quint. Elephant Boy's back, baby.
Oh, the Twink is here.
He's the opposite of a Twink. search your library for a basic land card. Reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle for 3 Boros Hybrid. Exile Whatley, then return to the battlefield, transform under owner's control, active owner's of sorcery. Okay, so... hey, the front half is a Nissa creature.
It has a million words to tell you to flip it over and read the back card.
Backside, Roar of the Fifth People. Chapter 1, create 2/3/3 dinosaur creature tokens.
Those
chapter
aren't two, people.
Roar of the Fifth People gains creatures you control half tap, add not any choice of Naya. Chapter 3, search your library for a dinosaur card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle. Chapter 5, dinosaurs you control gain double strike and triple flying a turn. Look, I don't know if I support this dinosaur people propaganda Wizards is trying to push here.
I've seen Jurassic Park. It doesn't work.
Yeah. I've also seen Dinosaur. They die in the end of that.
This card is also worded like Urza Saga, where after Chapter 2 happens, your creatures just have that ability.
Mm-hmm.
For chapters 3 and chapters 4. So that means you can, like, on the tick of chapter 4, you can just decide to tap all your creatures for mana and float it, because you're in your main phase. But this card seems like a lot.
And then we don't even get our Whatley back.
Exactly. I was going to say, like, we didn't play any of the Praetors from March of the Machine. They were so hyped. They were all so hyped. And Shieldred was going to be the best card ever, right?
Oh, yeah.
And nobody definitely plays... any of those cards. So I'm going to tell you that nobody is going to play this card either.
It's just like, I just think of like, just the, when I realized you didn't get Whatley back, just the memes are just like, add angry eyebrows. I get my Whatley back, right? No.
Okay. Here's the one time I could see the Whatley actually being playable. In Standard, if they reprint Collected Company, even then Whatley might be.
Yeah, even then.
It's basic, yeah. It comes to hand, too. It's not even like a rampant growth. At least let me put it into play so I can flip her faster.
No. You're going to wait.
All right. But the real card we're here to talk about and why Spirit Stonks is going way, way up, baby. Human Stonks, way, way up.
Technically, there's one you missed, actually.
You missed one.
Did I miss one?
You missed it's at Kellen, the very top. Daring Traveler.
Oh, that's right. Hey,
that's, Adventures I thought in... That's, sorry, I thought that's what I said was the twink. I thought you were talking about him.
No, I'm saying Quintoris. Oh, boy.
The cool boy is here.
Yeah.
From the last set, and he says, journey on, Bart. Garth, whatever.
Bart?
Garth? Wayne?
Wayne's yeah, world? Ricky's seen Wayne's World.
I've seen the movie.
I just went, my head went immediately to, like, Simpsons. I'm like, who says that? The bus driver?
I'm sure it was said at some point. There's 20 years of that show.
It creates X map tokens for one green man.
Yeah. As someone on Twitter, I forget it was Mason Clark on Twitter that pointed out just like his dad showing us tokens that we don't know what they do.
Yeah, that are probably going to be broken, right?
So I think a mall in the Discord said they're going to be they let you explore when you crack them.
That's people don't know
but,
that though.
But what so, do you? Oh, no, that was a guess, right? But how? Yeah. But what do you put the counter on?
So. Exactly. It's yeah. It would have to be target creature explorers.
Yeah.
Here's the weird and awkward.
Here's one I've heard is it's like one sacrifice, search your library for a basic land, put into your hand.
That seems way too good.
Maybe
for one mana? Like yeah.
Maybe two, yeah. But I've also seen this was my personal theory. It was three mana and you can search for any land.
I think all right, I'm gonna
Ricky Domus.
I think it's going to be sack three map tokens, draw a card.
Okay, got to put the map together?
Yeah. When have you ever, whenever in adventure serials, right?
Yeah.
Which is what this is supposed to be like kind of based on, right?
Sure.
This is like Romancing the Stone, right?
Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Journey to the Center of the Earth, you know, Indiana Jones type stuff, right?
Yeah.
When has the map ever been in one piece? Never.
Never, yeah.
You always like... They always, like, the map is either, like, folded over and you unfold the secret part, or, like, it got ripped up and we are trying to find the last piece, or we don't even know that there's a piece missing, right?
Sure.
I think you got to get the maps and put them together.
Uh-huh.
Because I think three is the number because this won't complete a map for you.
Sure.
Because he can only make two in a two-player game. Because X is the number of is one plus the number of opponents who control an artifact. Super weird. Interesting that I like this idea a lot, though. I like what this card represents, which is we can now have one-off carryover mechanics from a previous set mm-hmm. if a character from that set is, like, following the story, right?
Yeah.
Like, we can have, you know, a little adventure as a treat, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to get it because I think Kellen is supposed to be like in every set for like the first section of this like current saga.
So he's Jace again?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Because we got to find he has to duel Oko at the Oko Corral.
Yeah. Oko went to go buy cigarettes and he's going to go find out how cool they are.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Anyways. And then his other ability is whenever he attacks, you flip the top card of your deck. If it is a Collected Company target, you put it in your hand. Otherwise, cast Collected Company on your upkeep.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you may put it in your graveyard.
Yeah.
No. Always cast Collected Company on your upkeep.
Yeah.
It's classic. Wait, why is he a 2/3 for two?
Because he's good.
This card actually slaps.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter what the map cards do.
Oh, yeah.
Artifacts, so they're already good if he makes two of them.
Yeah, and he's a 2/3 for two, so with card advantage. He's an engine piece, actually.
He's also an adventure that curves into itself, which we have seen in the past as
be very good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Time for green-white to take over.
Quick aside about Cavern.
Cavern, yep. It's going to be good.
I'll let you go first.
Here's the thing, right? It's not like counter spells aren't the most common thing in Pioneer right now to begin with, because guess what? We don't have to deal with free ones. Counter spells in Pioneer are kind of expensive, and there aren't any good cheap ones. So, like, very often I feel like the thing is going to be Cavern of Souls was great in Florence, but like when it was relevant, it was because we were playing its mana leak, right? And sure, we have cards like Quench and some other cheaper two mana counter spells now, but I think the viability, it's still going to be good, right? You're still going to play like a couple copies of it in your mono white humans. We're jamming it all day in spirits, right? But I feel like because a lot of the more common Pioneer counter spells are at three, there's less at two, it's going to be. Relevance is going to be in the game in Pioneer now is your big impactful game ending spells that get countered, and those generally aren't creatures. You know, things like Dovin's Vetoes weren't hitting your creatures anyway. So I think, like, yes, it's going to be good. Yes, you're going to play it, but it's not going to be as, like, doom and gloom game ending as a lot of people think it is, because once again, like, it's not like counter spells are very prevalent or heavily impactful and Pioneer kind of to begin with. They're just annoying. And everyone else who's out there being like, oh my God, I don't want to play against spirits now. They have Cavern of Souls. You weren't playing Cavern of Souls to begin with. You were playing Rakdos midrange. Like,
that's fair.
You, like, will you jam these all day in spirits? I don't think so.
I'll play two. I'll play like two, you know.
But I mean, we're already playing two Mutavolt. Some decks play four, right?
Yeah, that's the big thing is, like, I don't think, like, this is ever a four of card in Pioneer right now.
Like, you can't cast your Obsession or your Geistlight Snares off of this, right?
Yeah.
You can't cast your Invasion of Cobra Kai, right? I think that this card is going to see play as like a two of in mono white because we need basic because we need to
ossification,
right? So we're going to play it as like a two of in mono white humans, right? We're going to play it as a four of in like fringe greedy decks that are just excited to get four more lands that tap for all five colors.
Yeah, I will be playing this in... I'll play a four of in five color humans because... Yeah, five
color humans I think viable again because now we have... Not because this makes our spells uncounterable, but just because it now gives us 12...
12, yeah.
...mana lands with no downside, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 16 if you want to be crazy.
16 if you've got the mana confluence money, you know?
Yeah.
So,
or like, you have a lot of ledgers. You can play Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. But I think that this, you know, that's the only real use for this card, in my opinion. Is I think
no, I agree. Like, I agree.
Multicolored tribes that want to play greedy decks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like a two of in a couple other tribal decks. You're not shoving this in your Rakdos deck and naming Phyrexian.
Yeah.
Like the cards that get countered in Rakdos, right, that win the game is like you counter things like Fable. Right, you counter cards that like get you ahead, right? You can kill Shieldred with a removal spell really easily. Yeah. It's hard to deal with a Fable. Like control players, calm down, right? Dovin's Veto and Spell Pierce don't hit anything that Cavern of Souls can hit, anyways, right?
Yep, that's what I'm saying.
You want to counter spell Treasure Cruise? You don't care if I resolve a thing in the ice, or you know, and I'm not going to play this card in Phoenix, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So that's my opinion on Cavern of Souls. I think it's going to be a nice addition to the format.
I still like Pioneer just being what are the cards that don't pull weight in Modern anymore.
Ship them
off to Pioneer.
Exactly, right? And I think we're like pretty close. I think it's really safe. I think like Champion of the Parish and like Snapcaster Mage, honestly.
Yeah.
And even Dark Confidant. I think all these cards could go into Pioneer and be perfectly fine good cards in Pioneer.
I mean, I want like
cards at home.
I want, like, Merfolk stuff in Pioneer. The big thing is, like, as long as we don't get Aether Vial, right, like, give me, like, everything from Merfolk into Pioneer.
Spreading Seas. Spreading Seas would actually be so, so based in Pioneer.
It would be, yeah.
It would be the first interaction of, like, greedy mana bases. I would love it. Anyways.
Yeah, sure. All right, well, that is Ixalan. All right, are we ready now? To summon the Does It Slap?
Yes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Does It Slap? All right, I put out the call last week that we had Thane on here, and Thane is a man who loves some green-black cards. I'll have you all know I've got my Golgari midrange deck sleeved up, ready to go next time I can head out to FNM. I've been having a lot of fun with it. So I put out the call, and I said, give me your best base green-black decks, because look, we're all about green-black here. Give me Sultai, give me Abzan, give me whatever you want to do, but we need it to be green-black. And most of you understood the assignment. We're going to be nice to the few of you who missed the assignment, but you still turned in work. And you know what? That counts something here on Career 3. So we're going to start off with everyone who turned in green-black stuff, and we're going to save the non-green-black stuff for the end. We'll get in the bonus results. Round. Huh?
We got a lot of results.
We do. All right, so we're going to start off with what is this? We're going to start with Oops, I Crap My Pants Again by Odins. We got Oops All Spells here.
Based.
Yeah, so we got 1 Yuri in the Sky Nomad, 2 Paradise Druid, 4 Sylvan Curated, 4 Tangle Florahedron, 1 Valky, God of Lies, 4 Dryad of the Elysian Grove, 4 Kazandi Mammoth, 4 Prized Amalgam, 4 Silver Smoke Ghoul, 1 Haunted Dead, 2 World Spine Worm, 4 Thoughtseize, 4 Fatal Push, 4 Agony's Awakening, 4 Balaghead Recovery, 4 Palakka Predation, 4 Creeping Shield, 4 Hagara Mauling, 4 Bring to Light, 4 Destroy the Evidence, 4 Seagate Restoration, 4 Turn Trooper Symbiosis, 2 Wish Claw Talisman, where is Chris? And wait, 4 Chromatic Lantern.
Is this what we've been reduced to? We have to play Destroy the Evidence on our own land?
Yeah.
Is that our only option?
It is, actually.
Yeah, that mechanic was weird.
It's not even from Gate Crash, which is really funny. That Destroy
it's
the
Return
Evidence
of Ravnica.
From Return of Ravnica.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing else that does it?
Nope.
Apparently not.
And we played an 80-card deck to do this?
Yeah. Play a 5-minute spell?
Yeah. I'm in.
I'm in, yeah. This is so based. Like this is great. I love this.
I think I have my slap rating already.
Yeah.
If I'm allowed.
Yeah, go for it. Give us your slap rating.
So I'm gonna give it a 5 out of 6 for how much 4 Academe's Awakenings cost? $56. Holy crap, why are those so expensive?
See, the only good one. $77 for a set. Yeah.
Ricky, what do you got?
I'm gonna give this a 4 out of 5, and then I'm gonna destroy the evidence of that rating.
I'm gonna give this a 4 out of 5 Valky starting loyalty.
Nice.
All right, moving on, we have Fane's submission with Uwu, It's Dread Daddy. We have Also Yorian Shell? Okay, we got 1 Yorian the Sky Nomad, 4 Mossa Dread Knight, 1 Arrast of the Endless Web, 1 Kalidas Trader of Get, 1 Questy Beast, 2 Shields of the Apocalypse, 1 Soren the Shirtless, 4 Fatal Push, 4 Thoughtseize, 2 Assassin's Trophy, 4 Candy Grapple, 4 Beseech the Mirror, 1 Languish, 1 The End. Does Languish have an alternate art? Oh, it does. 3 Record of Bankbuster, 4 The Iron Crag, 1 Asika's Chariot, 4 Hopeless Nightmare, 4 Wolf of the Haven, 1 Treacherous Blessing.
4 of those.
What do you do with this?
Why are we Yorian?
Okay, so it's so that you can play. So you can play all 8 of the ramp effects, and you don't. So you can turbo out your Beseech the Mirror. That's the entire point of it. It's so dumb.
So we could just fit Iron Crag and Wolf Haven, and that was
it? Yeah, that's it. That's the only reason I put Yorian. I'm like, I don't want to cut any of these cards because I have too many good ones. I'm bad at Yorian piles.
I mean, it is a pile.
Yeah.
What are we stacking into Candy Grapple? Nothing makes tokens. Oh, I guess the one of Arrasta makes tokens.
No, you don't have to sacrifice tokens. You sacrifice enchantments, artifacts, or tokens.
Oh, so we're sacrificing Treacherous Blessing.
Yeah, that's the plan. It's actually it's a pretty good combo. Treacherous Blessing draws 3, and then you're just like, ha, I can sacrifice this to any of my things. And you don't even lose the life because it sacrifices before the Treacherous Blessing triggers.
Nice, nice, nice.
It's just such a dumb...
This is an interesting...
I give it a 1 out of 5.
Of Golgari stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not a Golgari stuff believer. I'm going to come right out and say it. I am the worst at judging Golgari stuff decks. I hate them. Mm-hmm.
I like you including the end. I'm playing to the end in my build of Golgari right now, and I think the end is such a great card.
Oh, it's very good.
All
right. I'm going to give this a -3/-3 out of -5/-5 that Candy Grapple can give.
Nice. I'm going to give you third place, and you missed a chance for a piece of that radical rock, the Iron Flag. And I'm going to ship it off to Mo. Mo!
Man, she doesn't like that name.
I'll give this a, since it's my own deck, I'll have to be very mean. I'll give this a 1 Yorian out of its 5 toughness.
Oh.
All right, this next one we have comes from Zurinel, who gives us Eldritch Dread Knight. So we had 2 Glissa Sunslayer, 4 Misery Shadow, 4 Monster Dread Knight, 1 Phyrexian Obliterator, 3 Shieldred. This is the flip one.
Flip one.
Saga one. 4 Trash, 4 Tenacious Underdog, 4 Fatal Push, 4 Go for the Throat, to the end. Someone didn't want to do math on a mana base, so they just said, here's 22 basics. 4 Elch Evolution, 4 Thoughtseize, 2 Asika's Chariot. Huh. I like the Moon Knight approach to just F it and throw the basic lands at the window, right? Okay, so I like Elch Evolution here, but I wish we had some better targets to kind of Eldritch into. It's
only Obliterator.
Yeah.
Or the Shieldred. That has an ETB, I guess.
No, you can't get that from a 2. Everything else is a 2.
Oh, everything else is a 2. Oh, yeah. I guess if you sacrifice your Glissa?
No, we have Glissa. We have Glissa.
You have 2 Glissas.
I feel like the Asika's Chariot should be something else, like, well, maybe one of, since you have 4 Eldritch.
No.
Asika's Chariot's a good card. We need those.
I think is exactly a dirtle around. Wow, look at all the value my cards are getting. I'm dying, but I'm spending 2 mana to draw a card with Mosswood Dread Knight deck. This is perfect. This is the deconstructed, we're going to go ahead and smear the sauce on the plate in an arch, right?
Oh,
and I present to you mid-range, right?
Okay, yeah.
That's what this is. And for that, I give this a 5/5.
Okay. Okay. Ben, what do you got?
I'm going to give this a 2/4, but I'm going to add an extra. So the 2/4 is the 2 tokens you get for the 4 power, the 4 mana value of Asika's Chariot, but I'm going to add another plus 1, because you always can make the extra token.
Yeah. I love the description of this deck too. Abuse Dragon and Eldritch Evo to get strong cards into play. When there's only one card, well, technically, we can get extra less, right? So we get any other 2 drops.
I really think that this person, I think they just typed in Shieldred and didn't write the Nightmare, right?
Yeah.
I really think that if this is Shieldred, the Apocalypse, right?
Apocalypse, yeah.
Yeah, if this is Shieldred the Apocalypse, I think this deck is going places, right?
Yeah.
I still stand by my 5/5. Actually, I'm going to give this a perfect 11 forest, 11 out of 11 swamps.
I'm going to give this 4/5 Shieldred power and toughness. I'll let you decide which one.
Okay.
All right, next deck. We have from Isaac23M, it's Golgari Fight Club.
Heck yeah.
All right, so we got 3 Archfiend of the Dross, 1 Attracts a Grand Unifier, 2 Bramble Familiar, 4 Elvish Mystic, 4 Llanowar Elves, 1 Masker Worm, 4 Rotting Regisaur, 2 Shields of the Apocalypse, 2 Titan of Industry, 1 Tranquil Thrillback. What is this card? It's this one. Yeah. 4 Fatal Push, 1 Go for the Throat, 4 Fight Rigging, 2 Huntsman's Redemption, 3 Virtue of Pestilence.
Persistence.
Pestilence. It's the same thing.
Okay, do you guys know about the combo with Bramble Familiar?
Yes.
You guys seen this one?
This doesn't have it.
I know, but I forgot that card existed, and it's kind of cool.
What's the combo?
So there's that 5-color adventure from...
Battle.
The Cascades, and you can cast
it.
You can get pretty good value.
There's a deck in Standard that you cast the Invasion of Alara, you always hit Bramble Familiar, you cast Bramble Familiar, and you're trying to hit Cemetery Gatekeeper, the black six drop from Crimson Vow, which ETBs lets you exile a card, hopefully one that costs seven that you milled, to remove all seven counters off of the Invasion of Alara and flip it immediately, to then put a Phyrexian Flesh Gorger into play, make a copy of the Cemetery Gatekeeper, blow up your opponent's land, and then draw two cards.
Standard's so rad right now.
Yeah, it's really sick. Deck.
So,
but anyway, sorry for taking you off a track.
No, this is great.
This is a good deck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fight Ringing is good.
Fight Ringing is a cool deck. I like this deck. I like to cheese harder normally. I like to play the Sorin package and Fight Rig into the stupid 12-12 vampire.
And the Galta?
Yeah, Galta, Maverin, and then Lord Xander. Those are my targets normally
yeah.
for Fight Rigging or Sorin, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I like this, and Huntsman's Redemption is a card that every time I play with it in Limited, I'm just like, this card's freaking nuts, you know?
Yeah. Card's pretty sick. All right. Let's give it slap ratings. What do you guys got?
I'm going to give this a 7 out of 2 for the mana value of Bramble Familiar and the Adventure Side mana value.
All right.
7 out of 2.
I'm going to give this a 7 out of 6 Rotting Regisaur.
I'm going to give this a 6 out of 5 Maskworm Teeth.
Nice. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Good answers. Good answers.
Good answers. All right, moving on down to Garrett, Lord of Chaos, with Jund Adventures. So you get 4 Edgewell Innkeeper, 4 Falmar Knight, 4 Mosswood Dread Knight, 2 Order of Might, 4 Bonecrusher Giant, 4 Lovestruck Beast, 2 Murderous Rider, 4 Decadent Dragon, 3 Hearth Elemental, 4 Lucky Clover, 2 Virtue of Persistence.
This is great because it plays the non-bow of Lucky Clover, Hearth Elemental. Where we can discard my hand, draw 2 cards, and then discard my hand, draw 2 cards.
2 cards.
Technically, we can play instants in that brief window, so it's not exactly a combo, but yeah. It's funny to me.
It is definitely funny.
I still really want to adventure Baluna with a Lucky Clover and just mill 14. flip my deck over.
That seems like that'd be fun.
I think this deck is kind of sick.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a stack of cards with adventure.
Hey, that's Jund, baby.
That is Jund.
It's going the Jund pile.
They did it. They Chris asked for the Jund pile. Someone gave us the Jund pile.
This is the power of Pine Sol.
Yeah.
They even gave us a sideboard, and they got their required 4 Thought Seizes into the deck through the sideboard.
Good.
Put that off the list.
Canker Bloom, Ember Shieldbreaker. I feel like we need more adventures in the sideboard, but Ember Shieldbreaker's here, so that's good.
Canker Bloom is basically an adventure.
Sure.
And then Tormod's Crypt, just to get him.
Yeah. A Crone War, also just to get him.
Yeah. I like this deck.
This is good. Yeah. All right, Slappers, what do you guys got?
You can go first.
I'm going to give this the top 2 cards of my opponent's library out of 3.
Okay.
I'm going to give it 5 out of 5 because if you add up the neg 3, and the 2 life from Virtue of Persistence, it makes 5. So
I'm going to give this a 2 hands I discard out of 3. All right, moving on. We got Dreadshift from Skirn. This list is going to be 2 Arboreal Grazer, 4 Dread Presence, 4 Monster Dread Knight, 2 Questing Beasts, 2 Scavenging Ooze, 3 Topiary Stomper, 2 Awaken the Woods, 2 Cultivate, 4 Scapeshift, 4 Sylvan Scrying, 4 Abrupt Decay, 4 Fatal Push, 1 Ray of Enfeeblement. Do we got any big combos here in our Scapeshift 4?
Dread Presence.
Dread Presence, yeah.
You go get Urborg plus a bunch of other lands.
Yeah.
Spooky. They have an extra... interesting. Never mind, sorry. Seems good.
I like it.
I just don't understand what's the Ray of Enfeeblement in the main board for.
Because somebody is tired of losing.
Losing to Grease Fang.
Grease Fang.
I like Awaken the Woods.
Again, you know?
Awaken the Woods of Scapeshift is really funny. We have to sack our lands.
I think this is just with an Urborg in play, you just do this to like another.
Oh, true. You also do that, also works, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my play is also
3 Urborgs.
Yeah.
Or playing 2 Sylvan Scrying to find Urborg. Yeah.
Man, I'm glad that Urborg isn't like Valakut, and that they're just like, no, this is the Tomb of Yawgmoth.
Well, like, everybody's like, well, when are we going to get the island and the plains and the mountain one? And it's like...
They told us we're never getting those ones.
You can't print a mountain one. You just can't. Valak put in half.
Well, in the island one, there's, like, choke and stuff. They said they won't print it for those reasons.
Yeah, choke, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can play choke and then play the island and then...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The plains wouldn't hurt anybody.
No, because there's a card in flash standard, fires. I think.
Yeah.
Modern.
Okay. All right.
That's kind of like, around, like, if you want to build a roundabout Armageddon in modern, I feel like you should be allowed to.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Let the kids do what they want in modern.
With their one rings in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, at this point, yeah. That's too good.
Ricky, how are we feeling about modern, by the way? I see that we're waging war again on Twitter.
I am waging war. I went to a modern RCQ and y'all didn't hear about it because I was not on, I don't think, right?
No. Chris and I heard about it, but not on the show.
I played a good deck and I don't think I played terribly. I did lose a game because I got Chalice checked by like Ragavan dashing and I thought it cost two, so I didn't call a judge and then I was like, hold on, I think actually Ragavan should get countered. And my opponent goes, nope, you missed your trigger. And I was just like, damn, like, that's my bad, right? But, like, I, like, lost games, not matches, but, like, games, and, like, was way behind in matches where my opponent was just, like, throwing cards into my chalices, like, just pitching them. Just like, I'm going to path to exile your guy. It's like, well, chalice, right? And they're just like, oh, yeah, right? And, like, I don't know. I had players stifling their own living weapon triggers on accident. And, like, these people are, like, beating me. Yeah, like, I'm losing. Like, they had Strict Proctor in play, and they're just, like, Stoneforge in, College for Complete. And I'm just like, you don't get a token. And he's like, no, living weapon. Like, yeah, living weapons and enters the battlefield ability, and you don't have two mana. And he's like, well... I think you get the token anyways. Just like, I don't think so. We'll call a judge.
Man, I want to live in that guy's reality.
And it was seems like a nice reality. Was just kind of like miserable. Played like six rounds, ended up 3-2-1 thanks to an opponent playing a 50-minute game one with me. They were playing like all foil Japanese Abzan food with Sam.
Did they forget what their own cards did?
No, but they got mad that I kept calling judges for Oracle text.
Oh.
And they're just like, you can look it up on your phone. And I'm like, I'm not gonna, like, I'm just gonna call a judge.
Yeah. That's okay. We're gonna go Grand Archive this weekend. It'll be fun.
Anyways, this is a good deck. Let's move on to the next one.
What are we rating this though?
I already five rated out of five. It.
Oh, we did? Oh, I don't think I did. I'm going to give this a... I'm going to give this a 8 out of the 10 swaps it takes to kill our opponent with Dread Presence.
That was mine!
Oh!
I've been goozled. I'll give this a 3 Urborgs out of 4.
I will give this a... 5 out of 5 for the amazing deck putting together construction. I close the tab and I don't know what cards are in it.
Fair enough. All right, moving on. We got one from Amal who gives us Sultai Food, 4 Gilded Goose, 4 Minstrosity.
This is a woe limited deck.
4 Tough Cookie, 2 Greta the Sweet Tooth Scourge, 4 Hollow Scavenger, 2 Savvy Hunter, 3 Sweet Tooth Witch, 2 Provisions Merchant, 2 Ginger Hunter, 4 Feed the Cauldron, 3 Witch's Vanity, 2 Knight of Sweet's Revenge. Ricky, this is 60 cards. It's not a limited deck.
This is all cards from Woe Limited. All commons and uncommons. Savvy Hunter and Gilded Goose. And, like, somehow still an expensive deck because we threw 4 Overgrown Tombs and 4 Breeding Pools in it.
I like Greta. Greta's a fun engine.
Greta's a fun engine.
Very good and limited, in my opinion.
Yeah, very good and limited indeed. I'm not seeing it. A Knight of Sweet's Revenge, I'm pretty sure, is garbage. No. This is how we're winning the game, right?
Yeah, we're overrunning.
It's pretty good in limited, though. I mean,
sorry, it's not Overrun because it doesn't give trample. I've been corrected on that before.
But we're not playing Welcome to Sweet Tooth.
Yeah, that does seem like a little bit.
We're not playing the butthole, which is good.
Yeah, we're not playing the butthole. I mean, I'll give this a 2-2 goose mother because I paid X equals zero. Yeah.
I'll give this a 2 out of 0 for Gilded Goose, the opposite of its power and toughness.
2 out of 0. That's the highest rated deck then.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna give this. Let's go 4 out of the 7 it costs to activate Knight of Sweet's Revenge.
Nice.
Provisions Merchant is a card that's the set booster only card, which is why I've never read it before.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I've never seen that in limited.
It's a jackpot, man. It's full of mushrooms.
This guy does overrun. Oh, this is a good card.
Okay, yeah, the card's sweet. All right, moving on. We're going to skip this one. We'll be back. We'll be back for the bonus round. Golgari Fu Midrange by Scruff Daddy, who gives us 4 Cauldron Familiar, 4 Gilded Goose, 3 Glissa, 4 Mosswood Dread Knight, 2 Shield of the Apocalypse, 2 Sir Ginger, 1 Back for Seconds, 4 Thoughtseize, 1 Abrupt Decay, 1 Assassin's Trophy, 4 Fatal Push, 1 Seeker's Chariot, 3 Witch's Oven, 2 Trail of Crumbs, 2 Welcome to Sweet Tooth.
I love this deck. I want to play so bad.
Yeah. This is sick. Yeah, this is awesome. This is like super cool. This is what I want to do with Sir Ginger. This is what I want to do. Yeah.
I'm automatically have my slap rating. 3 out of 1 for Sir Ginger's power and toughness. Oh, so good.
Yeah, I think this is easily a 4 out of 4 fatal pushes.
Oh.
Way up.
Way, way up. Two thumbs way up. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna give this I'm giving it 2 for 2 because I'm coming back for seconds, baby.
Oh yeah.
All right, we got
That's a sick include.
What's up?
I was just saying, back for seconds is a sick include.
Oh, include
reanimate a Shieldred and get like Sunslayer back to your hand or something.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bing Saki gives us Jund Food Fight. We get 4 Gilded Goose, 2 Marius Scholar of Antiquity. Sorry, 3 Marius Scholar of Antiquity. I'm going to change the
view. What is that card?
There we go. Marius Scholar of Antiquities, 1 and Boros for a 3/3 legendary creature. Tap non-token artifact control, add green. Tap to non-token artifact. Oh, okay.
I like this deck.
This is sick.
I've never seen that card in my life.
Is it a set booster only DMU card?
No. Wait.
Which one was this? I missed it.
This is Jund Food Fight. 3 Fatal Push, 4 Thoughtseize, 4 Terminal Synthesizer, 4 Implement of Combustion, 4 Terrarian, 4 Oni Cult Anvil, 3 Witchclaw Talisman, 4 Food Fight.
Food Fight is a sick card, actually.
Yeah. So, there's a Food Fight, 1 and a red. Artifacts Mutual have 2 Sacrifices Artifact, deals damage to any number, to any target equal to 1 plus the number of permanents named Food Fight you control.
Okay, I have one thing about this deck, I think.
Okay.
Imagine if you had Sir Ginger with Oni Cult. Like, that seems like really good.
Well, this has an actual Witchclaw Talisman combo in it.
Oh, it does?
Yeah,
because so you can sack the trigger on the stack.
With Food Fight, you can sack it after you've activated it.
Yeah, there we go.
So, and then go tutor for another Food Fight.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, and you can do that with Oni Cult too, with Witchclaw.
Yeah, you can do it with Oni Cult also.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. I think I know what I'm giving this.
My brain is just like.
What are you giving it?
I am giving it a Chris Klein out of Crew 3.
Ooh. I'm going to give this a 5 out of 5, where 5 is the damage we deal with 4 Food Fights in play.
I'm going to give this another 2 out of 0 for Gilded Goose's power and toughness. This one slaps.
This is a sick deck. A Terrarian? Oh.
Yeah.
I'm in.
All right, last one of our non-bonus rounds. We get Soul Tide Control by Lemon Lyman, who gives us 3 Shield of the Apocalypse, 2 Elder Gargaroth, 4 Storming Entity, 4 Fatal, 4 Consider, 4 Fatal Push, 3 Storm Denial, 1 Abrupt Decay, 1 Assassin's Trophy, 3 Try in the Lock, 3 Growth Spiral, 1 Negate, 2 3 Dig Through Time, 4 Up the Beanstalk, 1 Virtue of Knowledge, 2 Shark Typhoon, 1 Virtue of Persistence. Look, we get Growth Spiral is a card I miss being able to play in Pioneer.
It's such a good card. Like, that standard was effed, but it was so good.
Do you feel like we have enough value for Beanstalk here?
I don't think so. I think you're just a little bit short.
You have, like, the Dig Through Times, and then the Virtue, and, like...
Sure. Not even Shark Typhoon's recycling it. I mean, we could cast it, I guess.
I feel like you want more Delve spells.
Four creatures. Trigger it.
I'm here for entities them. Trigger it for two mana.
True. They do.
This deck is cool. I like the I like the concept of this deck. Yeah. It just needs four Leyline Binding.
Yeah, ooh. It really does, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this just needs Leyline Binding. That's the problem.
I love how Drown of the Lock is what has happened to Drown of the Lock this far is because of how many people play Fable. You can just play Drown of the Lock and you're going to hit. Like, your opponent's discarding cards anyway.
Man, this kind of reminds me of what's the card called? The 4-mana untap all your lands every turn.
Oh, Wilderness Reclamation?
Wilderness Reclamation. This feels like a Wilderness Reclamation deck, and that makes me happy.
Yeah.
I want Wilderness Reclamation back.
It can't come back. It's not coming back.
I believe I want it. And this makes me excited because of that. So I'm going to give this deck one Wilderness.
Out of Reclamation, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this deck 6 out of the 8 mana in Dig Through Time. Because you can pay 6 generic.
I mean, look, I'm going to give this... Oh, man, what do I want to do here? I'm going to give this a 3 out of the 4 Growth Spirals we could be playing.
Ooh.
There we go.
All right. Now, we're bonus rounding this real quick. These are the people who... We appreciate the submission, but we missed the assignment. But hey, again, you turned in work, and we're going to go over and cover it. So thank you for everyone who hit the assignment, and now let's go over the ones who missed. But again, we're still going to cover them. So we got four Bone Crushers. So this is Huntsman Gruul by KDVT. So we got four Bone Crusher Giant, one Cankerbloom, four Elvish Mystic, one Glorybringer, one Helana and Elena Partners, four Elvish Mystic. Four Llanowar Elves, three Love Struck Beasts, four Reckless Storm Seeker, one Scavenging Goose, one Voldaren Thrill Seeker, four Chariot, one Sky Storm, three Chrome War, four Huntsman's Redemption. I mean, this looks pretty standard Gruul boats with extra targets for Huntsman's Redemption, so I don't think I see anything wrong here.
No, I'm going to give it 5 out of 6. It's really good.
I'm going to give this a Partners out of Helana and Elana.
Oh, they're
roommates, though.
They're roommates. I'm going to give this a Helana out of Elena.
Oh, man. All right.
Moving on down, we have... Okay, so this one... This one, Strange Man, 5 Columns. This one, we could have included, but we don't really have ways to trigger Cheville. If we had some good removal, I would have considered it. But anyway, so we have... we have 5 Color Humans. We have 4 Experiment 1, 2 Cheville Bane of Monsters, 3 Hajar Loyal Bodyguard, 2 Jarena Dauntless General, 3 Katilda Dawnheart Prime, 3 Rona Herald of Invasion, 3 Thalia Guardian Thraben, 3 Children Kudro, 2 Inga and Asika, 3 Thalia and the Gitrog Monster, 4 Jeru and Hazret, 3 Joda the Unifier.
Nice. I think this list kind of slaps. The Blooming Marsh seems a little out of place, though.
I feel like we need some
cast green cards on turn one.
We need like Mirror Box to make use of all these legends.
Ooh, Mirror Box.
I think this deck needs Cavern of Souls.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And we gotta bite the bullet, and we just gotta play Mana Confluence in this deck.
Yeah. Hey, it's only 36 ticks though. 38 ticks. There we go.
Is there 37 ticks?
Yeah, 38.
Sick.
All right, what are we rating this?
I'm going to rate this a 4 out of 5, which is the toughness and then the power of Daraju and Hazret, which is a human.
Go ahead.
Go first.
No, go for it.
Okay, I'm going to give this a 2 out of 1, which is Thalia's power and her toughness.
I'm going to go ahead and give this a Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I'm making this an 11 out of 11, which is the number, the maximum amount of bonus we can get from Joda's ability. All right, moving on. Last one here. We have Displacer Combo from OG Phantom, who is 1 Biomancer Familiar, 4 Duskwatch Recruiter, 4 Eldrazi Displacer, 4 Eldrazi Sky Squatter, 4 Elvish Mystic, 1 Emrakul the Promised, and 3 Eyeless Watcher, 4 Llanowar Elf, 4 Prosperous Innkeeper, 4 Collect Company, 2 Finale of Devastation, 4 Training Grounds, and some lands. Look, I'm going to be real. Eldrazi Displacer, a card I definitely forgot to mention when we were talking about engine pieces last week. And I do know we have a good Patreon mailbag question we'll hit next week that adds a few more that I do want to discuss. But, I mean, look, Eldrazi Displacer, that's worse. I feel like we're so close. My question is, where's our Reflector Matrix? If we're going to be nasty and play some Eldrazi Displacer, let's be nasty and play some Reflector Mages.
Unless it goes infinite.
Oh, I mean, are we just comboing? Is that the thing here?
Yeah, with Training Grounds or Biomancer Familiar in play, you can infinitely blink Eyeless Watcher and net mana and net creatures.
Okay.
If you infinitely blink, you can infinitely blink for infinite ETBs Eldrazi Sky Spawner, but you don't get any infinite mana off that.
Okay.
And then, but if you
Finale, just kill the board. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Still, Reflector Mage.
Yeah.
All right, what do you guys got on the rating?
I'm going to give it a 3 creatures that Eyeless Watcher makes out of the 1 card it costs you.
I'm going to give this a Finale of Devastation for 6 out of 10.
I'm going to give this a 2 life out of 3 that we gain from Prosperous Innkeeper when we play Eldrazi Sky Spawner. All right. All right, everyone. Thank you for all the deck lists. That will do it for this week for the regular episode. We'll probably bring back another slap here soon. I do want to, speaking of community interaction, I do want to remind everyone that early next week I'll put up the signups, but our next webcam event will be October 14th. That's going to be 2 Saturdays from now, so be sure to sign up and play in that. We had a lot of fun last time. Hope we get some other people involved, keep these things kind of rolling on. So it'll be fun. Definitely look forward to those. Of course, we are supported by Patreon, patreon.com/crew3mtg. We have several great tiers available. If you are a $5 member or above, I just posted Ricky and I's discussion on One Piece live action. So be sure to go check that out. And by the time you hear this episode, the Speed Racer movie commentary will be available on Patreon for everyone. Because that was an extra life stretch goal from last year, so be sure to go check that out. Speed Racer is the greatest anime adaptation of all time. Fight me, even better than One Piece LA.
Are we counting the movie Avatar? Is Avatar technically an anime? I'm just kidding.
Avatar is technically an anime, but that isn't even a movie.
Yeah, it was garbage.
I have a really fun story with that movie. So some friends and I in college, like every couple of weeks, we would just like go to Walmart and see what was the worst thing we could find in the $5 bin, right? For just like bad movie night in Commander. And one time we found The Last Airbender in the bin. And this DVD was cursed. So we put it in the TV, didn't work. We put it in the PlayStation, didn't work. We put it in a computer. We tried media player, we tried VLC, didn't work. We then went to use the Voodoo code that came in the DVD. And Sonny was like, nah, this doesn't exist anymore.
Nice.
So we then had to go torrent Avatar because we would not. We found friend sharing links and downloaded The Last Airbender because we were watching that movie.
Jesus.
But we went through like all worth it in the end to see
Ong.
See all of our favorites. to see M. Night Shyamalan as the
Avatar around up there, you know?
Yeah. See M. Night Shyamalan, being the main villain, killing the moon, killing Sokka's fish girlfriend.
Just trying to enjoy my beast capture movie.
All right. So, of course, every tier, though, of member, they do get access to our Patreon-only channels, including the Patreon mailbag. We can ask a question that sounds something like this. This question comes from Thane. Hi. Hey, buddy. Thoughts on Candy Grapple's viability in Pioneer? So, I'm going to let you pitch Candy Grapple to us.
Okay. It's -5/-5, kills a Shieldred, and you get to play... cards like Hopeless Nightmare and the one that draws three. I forget the name of it right now. Treacherous Blessing. It's just, I think there's some kind of engine there that if we work it out, it could really work, like, really well.
I think if you ask me this in, like, 2 weeks, I'll be higher on it. Because the more I play with Bargain and Limited, the more I think that the mechanic is so broken because you can't respond to the Bargain, which is kind of, like, amazingly frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially with like the three.
You bargain on cast, right?
Oh yeah.
Right, but like it doesn't use the stack to bargain.
That's what I'm saying. Like you bargain as you cast it. It's not like a trigger.
So, like there's like the 3/3 that makes himself a 1/1, right? And if you're holding like a -2/-2 spell, and your opponent can like bargain something else, and you've lost your window to like, there's no window where you get to cast the -2/-2. To kill it while it's still a 1/1.
Sure.
But like maybe because Candy Grapple kills Shieldred, but like it could see play in Rack-Sack, but in Rack-Sack I kind of just want to steal Shieldred.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like it's close. I think you're definitely onto something, but I think it's close but not quite there.
So one of the things I really like with it is like I don't know if Doom Foretold's there yet, but I do like, we've talked about it a bunch, and I do like Bargain with like Treacherous Blessing as a shell, right? Beseech the Mirror and some of that. So I do think like that Orzhov kind of Doom Foretold style shell is something I definitely want to check more out into. My thing is like, I like Candy Grapple because it does feel like even if we can't bargain, it still kills a lot of the format for 2 mana.
Oh yeah.
And that is great. So I think we just like, I kind of want to make sure we can have a good shell that does enough good in the format that like we're just not really pushing Candy Grapple, but I'm a believer. I can see myself as a believer in Candy Grapple.
I feel like it just has to compete with like Fatal Push and Go for the Throat. So
yeah. Yeah. It does have some big competition.
It's a tough battle, but like I can see if we want the bargain enough that it could be pretty good. The thing with Torch the Tower that I think makes it better, right? So like Torch the Tower is 1 mana, 2 damage, but like if we bargain it, it does 3 damage. But also it always exiles. And then also if we bargain, we get to scry 1 also. Like if Candy Grapple let me scry 1 with the bargain mode, I feel like it's a slam dunk. But like it's like I'm more into Torch the Tower's viability in Pioneer than I am into Candy Grapple. But like killing Shieldred is a big deal, so I could be convinced. I think this one will grow on me. I think you might be onto something early, but sure. I don't think it's a bad idea.
Yeah,
test it.
For sure. All right. Well, thank you for the question, Thane. And thank you for joining us in this week's episode. Thank you also for being one of our awesome donors for last year's Extra Life. We love raising money for charity. Like I said, get ready for the second weekend in November. We'll be back in with Extra Life. Kind of start getting ready, start pumping, hyping everyone up. Everyone's already hyped for Lego Island Adventure, which is sick. We might be live streaming Ricky from an RCQ now. We'll see. I don't. Well, let's go say hi because I don't know if that store's actually running that RCQ or not. Because it's also
limited RCQs.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, it's pre-release weekend, so I don't know how they're running an RCQ and pre-release.
They run a WoW limited RCQ.
That's fine, but the store's going to be busy with pre-release, though.
Heck 'em.
Yeah?
Yeah, take those kids, right? Throw all the Lorcana at them and get them out of the store.
Sure. Bore them with the lore of Ixalan for an hour.
Is it that store?
It's that store.
I've got enough room.
Yeah.
I don't want to play Modern. I want to qualify for Denver.
Yeah, but you just didn't want to drive to Midland this weekend?
Well, I got convinced to come hang out with you.
Yeah, we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun with Grand Archive.
Yeah, it will be fun.
It will be fun. It'll be great. Do DGen stuff, as always. But anyway, Thane, thank you for joining us. Like I said, where can the people find you?
They can find me on x.com, I think. Thane.
Whatever it's called this week.
Yeah, I think that's the one. And mostly you can find me on like all the Pioneer Discords, Thane of GB Mid, if you want. Or you can find my podcast on all podcast platforms except for Amazon Music. I don't trust Bezos, so... at Shoxy's podcast.
All right, everyone, go check out Shoxy's. Like I said, we've all the hosts have been on at least one episode, so it's a fun podcast. Be sure to go check it out if you already haven't. Ricky, where they can find you on the socials?
You find me on Twitter at also Steve. That's what I'm doing. And then sometimes you'll find me streaming on twitch.tv/crew3mtg.
All right. And of course, you can find me at crew3podcast over on X. Over on the Twitters, talking about all things I got going on. It's been fun. Besides after Grand Archive, it's going to be a big Lego weekend for me coming up soon, because the wife and I are going to be putting together the Sanderson House Cottage, and the Viking Village drops next week, and I'm excited for that. So besides all kinds of magic stuff, I talk about Grand Archive. Speaking of Grand Archive, I'll be doing some content for Grand Archive coming out of the Ascent. I'm working on a couple videos covering their non-competitive TCG event they have also going on, of course, with deck boxes and TRs. That'll be like a 2-3 video series. I haven't really kind of planned out how long it's going to be, but there'll definitely be some stuff there. And hopefully we'll also have some discussions with some of the creators of the game that I'm hoping to schedule while we're there, so be sure to be on the lookout for that kind of stuff. Magic content will be coming back to the YouTube channel soon. Like I said last week, I do have a caster pass my wife recorded, and we're going to kind of start get things rolling again, and we'll upload like Ricky's VODs for that, so be sure to look at Crew3MTG on YouTube for Magic content and some Grand Archive on occasion. That will be it for this week's episode. Tune in next week for kind of our, hopefully, Ricky and I celebrating success. And
I'm going to win the Grand Archive.
At the Starships we win this weekend at the Grand Archive Ascent.
Oh, yeah.
Also going to win a beauty pageant. So that's going to be fun. And then we're talking about the RC results. And Ricky's going to dive into the Bird Box.
The Bird Box. Get ready for it.
Man, I miss our kid. I miss our kid from Bird Box, Alan and Gintercard. I don't know what happened to him.
You lost it in the move.
I did. I lost our boy from Bird Box.
That is the boy from Stranger Things. Is the boy from Bird Box?
It was the boy from Bird Box.
Oh no! We need more Alan Ginter.
The new set came out.
We'll find it.
We should go find it. All right. Well, that'll be it. We'll talk to y'all next time. Bye.
Bye.